sooner than later. Amen. Crazy stuff going on in this whole world. I want to speak to you today about the world and the church. There's a lot of things going on out in the world we just don't understand. Let's face it. It's a quandary to most of us, to all of us. And in this passage that we read this morning, over half the verses speak about the world. The Greek word for world is cosmos, and it means the world arrangement. It talks about how that things are put together in this world that we live in. No chapter in the Bible mentions the church as it is mentioned here, yet the word church is not actually used at all. The subject of the church, however, is brought up over and over again in this chapter 17. Let's begin by explaining the purpose of the New Testament local church. That's what you're sitting in today. This is a local New Testament. We call it the Ecclesia, called out assembly of baptized believers. That's just what it means, the church. Jesus said to the Father, that the world may believe. Here we find the purpose of the New Testament local church. The local church exists that the world may believe. We send people out from our church. We have been challenged by God and said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. Local church is the place that sends people out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not talking about this cosmos. It's not talking about the whole earth. There are several words for the word world, the Greek, which the word world means. It means nations. But here, John, the word cosmos uses meaning the world arrangement or what we would call the world system. We certainly see a lot of the world systems happening today. It's not referring to the Antichrist, the end time of the world government. It is just referring, and by the way, it's not just referring to what we would say like Hollywood and Broadway and nightclubs and flop houses and any other worldly things. It is referring to the entire world's arrangement, most of which is not bad in itself. Jesus described it well when he said eating and drinking, buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage. That's the world, amen. That's the cosmos. There's nothing wrong with those things. They are simply part of the world system. When Jesus said not to love the world, nor the things of the world, he was referring to these types of things of the world system. He is saying, love not eating and drinking. That's not the most important thing of life. He says, now, don't love not buying and selling. Love not marrying and giving in marriage. He says, these are some things that you want to be very careful about. He says, hey, love me. And you love me, all the rest of it will take care of itself. Because of this misguided understanding of this, we totally misunderstand the worldliness it's all about. Therefore, we misunderstand the role of the New Testament local church, that is, the world and in the where we live. There are two kingdoms to this world. There's the cosmos, and there's God's kingdom. Everything in this world is part of the cosmos except for the church. Now, I'm going with this. Hang on now. Just hang on. Your church is in the cosmos. The activity of our daily life is in the cosmos. Therefore, when God calls us out of the world, there is no other place that we can go except the New Testament independent local church. We have the cosmos, which has, and in that cosmos, not everything is bad out there. You and I have to go buy our groceries. That's not bad, except how much we have to pay for it. there's nothing wrong with having your own house. Except you have to always be fixing on it and painting on it and making sure everything's done. Pretty soon you have to be shoveling it, amen. But to come out of the cosmos, the only place you can come out is coming to the church. The local church is the only place where we are strictly absorbed in the things of God and not in the things of the cosmos. Either you are in the church or you're in the cosmos. That is why my heart is broken by some of my friends that think that if you can just have some rock and roll music and some worship leader gets up in casual clothes and they blow some smoke and blow some fire and they beat their drums, this will encourage the sinner to come into their place. They get on the world's level. The masses come to get saved. But the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. So it is pretty appalling to me when someone would bring into the church, which God says, hey, you have the world, and you have the spiritual place. You have the world, you have the church. And so therefore, it is imperative that we as Christians do not bring the world in here with us so that we can get the world. That's not how God said it to be. God said it's our responsibility to be separate, saith the Lord. It is a place that we can come. Isn't that a wonderful place? You can come to church. You don't have hear cussing and swearing. You don't hear dirty language. You don't hear the rock and roll and the western beat and all that other junk that goes with the world. But we can come to a place that we can come in and worship the Lord God. We can fellowship with the brothers and sisters. We don't need the world with us, amen. That's the only way we can get out of it. Now, the Bible tells us that God called us out of the world to come into the local church to be vitalized. And then he commanded us to go back into the world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is our haven. This is our oasis. I was reading a book yesterday and it was talking about an oasis. And it was talking about how that men and caravans would go through the sands and everything, and all of a sudden they come to the oasis. And they come into the place where no more the browns and the yellows and the reds, but they come in where the green and the blue water was. And it was just a refreshing time. And that's what the Bible talks about. You know, it's really the church is our oasis, the place for water, the place for food, the place for rest, the place under the palm trees to cool us, and the nice breezes that cool down us. You know, I don't know about you, but this world is driving me crazy. I'm tired. I'm tired of the dumbing down of religions. I'm sick and tired of people trying to bring the church into the world. That's not what we're supposed to do. This is the place that we come. We get revitalized. This is our oasis that we come and to be able to cool down from the crazy world that we're out. We need some place we can come and talk about Jesus so we can praise the Lord and glorify God. The cursing and the swearing and the filth and the immorality is not to be spoken of. But it's a place that we can come and rest and fellowship and listen to God. He says, I want you to come out of the world so that you can be strengthened, that you can energize so you can go back into the world. He never tells us we're not of this world. But he tells us that we're not to be of this world. Yes, we are to go back into the world. God is saying, you have to make a choice. Either you are going to be in the world or with God. And Jesus plainly said in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. One of those choices is the cosmos, the world's arrangement. It includes buying gas and driving a car and shoveling snow and cleaning the house and cooking meals and washing clothes and going to work. All that's in the cosmos because it's part of the world arrangement. And these things you've got to do. Years ago, there was an old preacher who was preaching. He came up, he was out of New England, and they were having great revival up there. And all of the people just kept coming and coming. And finally, on Saturday, he told the people, he said, you've got to go home and milk your cows. You've got to go home and take care of your gardens. You've got to go home and take care of your business. And then we'll start back up on Tuesday. You know, in life, we gotta do some things in life. All of us, you don't go to work, you don't get paid, amen? Well, some of you go to work and some of you just go and get paid. But anyway, But it is our responsibility. We've got to keep this thing out. But it is our responsibility to come to church, be faithful, come out of this world, come back, get revived. When God calls us out of the world, He's calling us into church. Most Christians don't even begin to understand the importance of the local church. You're not going to grow in grace outside your church. You're not going to be a better Christian outside your church. Because you cannot be a better Christian than the cosmos. Let me make something very clear. All of these interdenominational teaching in the cosmos, the church, is God's kingdom in the world. Not in the sense of the kingdom of God, but God's empire. When you come out of the cosmos, you go to church, occasionally somebody will say, "Hey, preacher, I'm going up the mountains where I can go in grace just by being there. I get close to God up there." Well, I don't know about you, but when I go up there, I don't get too close to God. I start looking around, start seeing the animals, and start thinking, I praise God for it, but I'll tell you something. When I come to church and hear the preaching bearing down and pouring the coals to us, amen, that's when we really get the Spirit of God upon us. You're right. You can get close. One guy says, "Yeah, you're right. You get close to God's judgment if you keep missing church," amen. Or folks will tell me that they are staying home and growing in grace by studying the Bible. How come the Bible said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves," and there some is? It's the Bible. The wood and the mountains and streams and the home are wonderful places, but they are not the place of the New Testament, replace the New Testament local church. Anyone than the church can take the place of the home. You can't do it. You can't take your home, can't take the place of your church. Going out in the mountains can't take care of the place of your church. And God would not have established the local church if the home, the stream, and the mountains could have done the job. That's why He put in the Bible, Hebrews 10:25. And one man said, "Just deal with that one, amen." God would not have established the home if the church could do the job. Church can't do the job, the home can do it. This church can't fulfill the responsibility of the parents. Some people think it can. Some people, "Well, I'll just send them to church and God will take care of them there." No, you have to be mindful of your home. It's your responsibility to be a good father at home. It's your responsibility to be a good mother at home. Good responsibility of being a child at home. There's a lot of things that need to be done. The church can't do those things. You got to understand that. It is our responsibility that we have all these things. Conglomerate. I was with a man the other day, and he was telling me, he said, "I'm really worried about our camp." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, we're just not turning out kids." I said, "So you're telling me that 5 days at camp are going to take care of the other 360 days of the year?" Well, he said, I said, "Hey, 5 days indoctrination of the Word of God, it has to be an all-time thing. It's got to be home. It's got to be church. It's got to be school. All these things work together so we can serve God even greater. But the church is the only place you can go to come out of the cosmos." Then Jesus says that we are to go back into the cosmos. Why? "That the world may believe. That the world may know that Thou hast sent me and Thou hast loved them." That He loves the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. That's our responsibility. We hear that and then we take it back to the cosmos. So, the purpose of the New Testament local church is that the world may know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come out of the world and come into the church to get a strength build up. So that we can go back into the world and so that the world may believe. Then we are to come back out of the world, to come into the church to get our strength, and then back in the world to preach it, and then come back and forth. That is a constant thing. I have a couple of motorcycles in my garage, and they're dirt bikes, and they don't get ridden very much. And, the other day, preacher's kids were here, and I wanted to let them ride the motorcycles. And I got this small 125 Yamaha. It's a nice little dirt bike, and it's small enough kids can ride it. And I tell you, I worked about a half hour on that, about a half a day on that thing, getting that thing going. And one of the reasons was the battery. I hadn't kept the battery tender on my motorcycle. I keep a little plug in, and they're tendered all the time and save the batteries for a long time. And, you know, if you don't keep that tender on there and you don't drive those bikes, they die. The battery just doesn't work. And once that battery's completely filled up and everything ready to go, boy, it started right up. It's an amazing thing. You know, that's like our Christian life. You stay away from church. You know, the battery got draining and draining and draining and draining. You need to be charged up. You need to get plugged in. How many have a cell phone? Raise your hand. I hope you got it turned off. But anyway, now I know who it is out there. And you always got to plug that stupid thing in. Sometimes, if you're busy like I am, I have to do it twice a day. And it's just the way it is. It's the way of life, and you got to keep plugging it in. You got plug-ins in the car. You got plug-ins in the truck. You got plug-ins in the house. There's always some place. There's always some wire plugging in someplace. And usually the kid's got his plugged in where you want to be plugged in. Amen. But anyway, we always need to be energized. We need to be, and that's where we get it. We get it at the church. We are to be in church. Then we go to the world. We go to the church. Then we go to the world. Then we back to church. And the world back to church until we are taken to heaven. Amen. God gave us no intermediate zones. There is no space in between. It's either in the world or in the church. The world is everything but the church. And that's why we're supposed to be very careful that we as Christians keep our local church straight. Keep the world out of this church. Keep the things that the world desires out of this church, so we would come here so that we have refreshment and encouragement. John chapter 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory that I have with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men that thou gavest me out of the world. So we are to come out of the world, come to church, be faithful to our church, then we're going back to the world, and we're supposed to be faithful out there. He is not just referring to glory. He had that before there was the earth, the word began with the word cosmos. Jesus is referring to the time when man fell in the Garden of Eden, or before the world was arranged there. He said man did not work by the spread of the bough. Woman did not give birth with great travail. The earth had no howling winds, no fiery serpents, no wild animals. But God said that was the cosmos. The arrangement was not like it is now. Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. So it is our responsibility as our Christians to be out of this world. Stay out of the world. Stay in the church. Stay right with God. When you go out the world, you're going out the world to tell people about Jesus Christ. That's a responsibility. The moment you get saved, the moment you come to Christ, you are commanded to get out of the world. You have worldly pleasures, worldly things going on in your heart and your life. You need to get rid of that. Amen. And where's the best way to do that? You come to church and listen and say, wow, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. And then you read the Bible. The Bible said no, and so you don't do that. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior, demands and commands us to be a part of every church service that is called for in the local church in the New Testament day. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every evangelistic meeting, every picnic, every Thanksgiving supper, every mission conference, everything, time the doors are open, he said, hey, you are to come out of the world and be in the church. Yes, you can try to remove all the sinful activities out of your life, but by the way, that is commendable and admirable. But if you do not attend church that he bought with his blood, you are still in the world, and you cannot come out of the world. One man said, many Christians do not love sin, but they do love the world because they are not faithfully come out of the world. That is why Christians should come to church. That is why people should join a local church. That is why people should be baptized. That is why they should come out of the world long enough so they can get their strength to go back into the world. We get strength to go out of church, to work in our places, to live right while, and then we come back to the church, get energized again. We get strength to go out of the world, to tell our neighbors and friends about Jesus. I promise you, I've never met a Christian who's out soul winning all the time that ever stopped going to church. I can't give you one soul winner's name in the 47 and a half years I've pastored that are faithful, that did not go faithfully to the local church. It is the church where we get the habit of talking about Jesus. It is from the church that we can go back in the world to talk about Jesus and the lost people around us. The local church is where we sing about Jesus. We preach about Jesus. We teach about Jesus. We fellowship around Jesus. And then we leave the church house, and it is not so hard to talk to the world about our Jesus because we're all ready and willing to go for Jesus. Listen to me, you stay out of the church for a while, and you'll not talk about Jesus in the world. You'll begin to get more and more ashamed. That is what church is all about. The church is not a place where a bunch of people quietly tiptoe in on Sunday morning with dignified-looking wardrobes, look at three candles burning on the altar on the communion table. It is not a place that we listen silently and the choir sings a sevenfold amen and we get a worshipful experience. That is not the purpose of the church. The church is a place where you come to hear God Almighty's name glorified and praised. It is a place where we come rejoice. It is a place that we realize and that Jesus is preached and how that He paid the sins for our debts. Listen, I do not know about you, but I heard a blessed name blasphemed and cursed all week. I need charge. I need a charge. I'm in a spiritual battle, and I mean my battery is charged up, so that I can go back into the world and I can praise the name of the Lord to the ungodly and able to open my mouth and defend His holy name. I come to church to enjoy the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church is a place where we come to fellowship with God's people and realize that we are not alone and that we get strength to go back into the world to talk about Jesus to the devil's crowd, that cosmos. I'm reminded of a good old man, a great soul-winning man, faithful man who never missed church service. He was always there. He was a man greatly used of God. He was unashamedly stood for Jesus Christ and His Word at work in his community for many years. One summer, though, he purchased a cabin on the lake. A week passed and he was not in church. The summer was gone. The fall was in the air. One afternoon, his pastor stopped and asked if he could come in. The strangest thing happened at the pastor's visit. The pastor didn't say much. He took a seat over by the hearth, by the fireplace, and sat down and there looking at the fire, warmed himself. After about an hour, the pastor took the wood poker and pulled out of the hot flaming fire a coal and slid it to the side of the hearth and watched it until it turned black and cold. Then the preacher got up and headed for the door. The man got up and took the pastor's hand and shook his hand and said, "Pastor, I got it. I'll be back in the services again." That's what happens when we get out of church. That's what happens. We just start cooling down. There's not anybody there to stoke us and anybody to encourage us. You see, when a person or a family get away from going faithfully to church, they become cold. I can name you hundreds of church members who at one time were on fire for God, but thought that they could take a break and beat the odds. That they would not be another statistic that would cool down and then fall off. I promise you that those who stay close to the fire will remain hot for the Lord. You see, every time you stand up and sing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You're building up a little more strength to go back in the cosmos. If you do not faithfully attend your church, you will slide back into the world. You will be in you will be in and of the world. Many Christians go on vacation thinking it's fine to skip and miss church on a Sunday night and Wednesday, or maybe even on the Sunday morning, or maybe stop at something that is called a church but is not a church. Many born-again people have played the slot machines in Las Vegas, Nevada on vacation who have never would have ever done anything like that at their home. That's why people need to go to church, even when they're on vacation. If you say, if you stay in the cosmos long enough without coming to the out of the cosmos and coming to church, before you know it, you are in the world, and you become of the world without even realizing that they have left the God that they love. I pray to God that you would today consider that. You'd be very careful. You'd be faithful to your church. I've seen a lot of boys go away to the military and all of a sudden they're gone. They just got out of it. You say, but preacher, that wouldn't happen to me. Don't say it won't. You want to be very careful. You want to keep yourself just tuned to the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. Jesus Christ loved the church so much He gave Himself for it. God loved the church so much He gave His Son for it. I would suspect this place is a very, very important place to God. Amen? It's very important, and we better be very important. We better be very careful that we don't miss it. Because if we do, like one man said, you get away from God, you never know how far you'll go or how much it'll going to cost you. But if you ever come back, I pray to God that God will use you in a great way to keep yourself faithful and also encourage those who do not come to be faithful to church. It's a sad day. Someday somebody's going to stand up and say, you know, hey, whatever happened to so-and-so? Well, I don't know. They just kind of stopped coming. Boy, you ought to pray for them. Pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. You know it's good to be in church. You know it. We talk to each other. We know we're here and we're accountable to each other that we would serve God even greater and greater life. Why do we go out of the cosmos? Why do we go out of the church? Go out of the world and come into church so that we can be filled up and be faithful and reminded to serve God in every. You know what? There's people next door to you who don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You ever talk to them about it? People across the alley. Have you ever talked to them about it? There's people at your job. You ever talked to them about it? Ever encourage them to come to church? Tell them that Jesus loves them? You said, but preacher, I'm not very good at that. Well, I'll tell you what, that's why it's important to go to church. You find out how you can be good about it. Amen. Well, open your mouth. Tell them how you got saved. Y'all got saved, most of you, right? Amen. You know, somebody came to talk to you and told them Jesus loved them. And, there's a place that is called hell. And you don't want to go there. You want to go to heaven. And you had the opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. I hope today that you as Christians would say, you know what? I want to serve God. I want to go serve God in a great way. We say, well, preacher, I can't get around very good. Well, you pray. Boy, I sure love prayer. Sure love praying. I love people to pray. I love people to pray for me, amen. I love people to pray for my wife. I love people to pray for my family. I love people praying for my church. Boy, I want to be prayed for, amen. Well, you can pray, amen. Well, I can't get out. Well, then you can pray, amen. But you ought to be faithful. Faithful. That's what will build you up. It'll keep you going. Amen. One of these days you're going to look back and say, boy, I wish I would have. Be encouraged to read your Bible. You'll need to read your Bible every day. Read your Bible. Find some place to start your Bible. Man, I encourage you to start in the Psalms. Read five Psalms a day. November the 1st, start reading the Psalms. Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3, Psalm 4, Psalm 5. And then on November the 2nd, Psalm 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then the next one will be 11, third day. See, just read your Psalm. Read Proverbs. Help you get some smarts. My dad told me, his dad told me, his granddad told him. He said, read the Proverbs every day. Read the Proverbs. One of the Proverbs. Today's 16th. Ought to read Proverbs 16. Amen. Give you wisdom. Amen. I'll read it. And read some scriptures. Just read it. and devour it, enjoy it, and just think what God got for you. Someone says, you know, preacher, I read the Psalms a lot. There's just something in the Psalms always giving me encouragement. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement. Satan comes, tries to take my encouragements away from me. It's not the same to you. I'm no different than you are. Hey, I need your help. I need God's help. Amen. So do you. So be faithful. Be faithful in the church. Your church will always remind you, always tell you, hey, be faithful in the Word of God. Be faithful in your prayer. Be faithful in soul winning. That's our responsibility. So faithful. Hey, you ought to be faithful in church. You ought to invite your family to church. I had a family a while back. They were coming pretty good. And they invited a family. And that night they didn't show up. And the family came in and said, you know where so-and-so? I said, no, I don't. I said, well, they told us to come to church. That's not good, amen? Not a good deal. So be faithful. Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray that the folks get what I'm trying to say today. I pray, Lord God, the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts and life. Help us to be faithful. Lord, I pray that there'd be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day that they would say, today I want Jesus to be my Savior. Today I want to be saved. Today I want to be sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, speak to our hearts, Lord, today. Please, God. And then, Lord, be with those who are struggling with being faithful, struggling with, they think, finding the time. Lord, it's amazing how we can find time to do anything, Lord. So just encourage us to do right, be right. Help us, Lord, to stand firm to the Word of God. We love you, Lord God. We thank you for the promises that you've given us, this, the local church, the ecclesia, the called out assembly of baptized believers, that we can come and be, get out of the world and be able to be in church and to enjoy the fellowship and the spirituality of the Word of God. Lord, now speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that today. I'd sure like to make sure I'm saved. You're here today, and you say, preacher, if I were to die today, according to the Word of God, I know I'd go to heaven. There was a day in my life I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins, come into my heart, and I know today. I know as I'm living today, according to God's Word, if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise your hand to that and say, that's me, preacher. I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I would. God bless you. You heard today and said, preacher, I don't know much about that. Oh, my friend, that's why it's so important you would come and accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. God loves you so much. He gave His life for you. And if you just invite Him to come into your heart, He would save you forever. If you're here today and say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I'm not sure I'm saved. You know, the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said, if you bow your head right there and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here and right now. And God will do that to you if you would. Would you like me to pray a prayer with you? Just say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here and right now. You're here today and say, yes, preacher, that was me. Today I pray. God bless you, someone else. I pray that prayer and ask Jesus to be my Savior. Let's all stand. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, we certainly invite you to come to Christ. Pianist is going to play. You just step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, take me down by the hand, say, preacher, I want Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my heart right now. Why don't you come right now?
I need some help.
Dear day, you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come? Maybe your day, you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God. Why don't you come? You know, Jesus loves you so much. He gave His only begotten Son. He, the Son of Heaven, came to this world to die on a cross so you'd go to heaven. What a privilege it is. Why don't you come to Him and say, today, preacher, I want Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have. Thank you for reminding us again today, Lord God, how important it is, the church. Thank you so much that you bought it with your own price, your own life. Lord, how important it is to you. Lord, help us to be faithful as we would serve you. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.